It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, howdy, White Sox fans. My name is Brett Valentini, and I am hosting Sox Pop. Hey, listen, all of these people on this podcast, let me just interrupt my intro by issuing some sort of reprimand. And all of you listeners and viewers, nobody told me, where does it show up? I don't know if it shows up. I think it shows up to all of us internally. Sox Populi spelled wrong for probably every podcast. Now, thankfully, in our now outdated logo that if you're watching on YouTube, you can see because it features recently cut loose ball player. It is spelled there correctly. But that was someone who did, whoever worked on that knows how to spell. I can't spell English, much less Latin. It is corrected here internally for us. I caught the two L's in Populi. Very Espanol of me, but anyhow,
I thought the extra O was for loss.
Yeah, I don't know why I just took it off. In fact, I'm going to go back and edit three L's now. Who cares about grammar, spelling, or punctuation? It is Sox Pop. Yes, Populi, derived from the Latin Sox Pop. 163 of these, including some of them here in this White Sox offseason. It's a offseason for laying down and avoiding, but we're going to have a little fun because we're going to harken back to. What's it been, 6, 7 months? However many months ago it was when some of us were bright-eyed and optimistic about the White Sox. Most of us, I guess, were bright-eyed and optimistic at least about a baseball season, which wasn't delayed by any labor strife. Who knew what was going to happen? Who knew what lurked behind the door? Well, you'll find out that none of us thought it was going to be as bad for the White Sox as it turned out to be. Some of us went down in a greater disaster and explosion than others. We will get to that, but we are discussing in this podcast how the predictions wrangled out. And you're lucky, you listeners and viewers and readers, you're lucky to have first and second place finishers. Listen, I got to play this up because I suck at this. And to actually be the best at this, and it speaks to how bad the season was. It speaks to the moment of weakness or kindness that the 21 other Southside Sox predictors bestowed on me because somehow they let me win the predictions. Believe me, no one was more surprised than I to find out that my tally was slightly higher than that of Crystal O'Keefe, who finished again in win place or show type of category. This time it's a place for her. Despite her angst toward the White Sox, that should have gotten her a lot of big points in the final round as we rounded the bend toward the finish of all of this. Somehow I was even more dire about how the White Sox would end up and overtook her at the very end to steal the victory. Super Joe Reeses. We got Ryan, Melissa Sage Bolenbach from her international scouting trip, which apparently yielded No talent for the White Sox. But again, it's not like anybody's going to notice. Just look down the roster of all the affiliates. And Brian O'Neill, I believe, seventh place finisher. Ryan, I believe, also fifth. I will not mention where Melissa and Joe ended up. Somehow it's lower than seventh, but not last. We'll probably address the folks who finished dead last because they make good predictions too. They just didn't make very good predictions this time around. So I guess I'll throw it out to the field here. Anything you want to say about your own performances? Anything that seemed surprising about the results? There are areas where we almost completely whiffed as a staff and some spots where we actually hit it pretty good. Anything jump out at you? Or are you just ready to stop talking about it so we can get to 2024 and maybe you'll do better next year? Maybe you'll catch me next year.
I will say that my 78 win prediction, I thought I was being generous. Damn, was I wrong.
Yeah. Crystal and Tommy Barbie, I believe, were low predictors at 75. And, you know, even then we're like rolling our eyes like, oh, well, okay, 75. Although, you know, again, I was pretty dour there too. But yeah, 61. Wonder what it'll be next year.
Well, jump on this.
It won't crack 60.
Yeah.
I will own up being the least correct about the White Sox. I was off by 30 games, 30 wins. I think I ended up losing 91. You can talk that up to, I think Brett in the Slack said Sunshine Demasseria, which is good, or you're just, you know, an old man's priority to be wrong. But also maybe possibly if something broke right, then I would make you all look like chumps. And
oh, God.
I think mostly why I did that is I didn't actually know we were going to be doing this at the end.
Oh,
if I would be called out on it, I might have thought differently. But
credit to you, Brad, you showed up then, and you're taking your medicine. That's pretty nice of you. If you're going to fail, take a cue from the White Sox, Brian. If you're going to fail, fail spectacularly. So
yeah.
You're right with them on that one. Other thoughts on this general grid of predictions about how you did? Did you do better than you thought? Worse? I know we all probably had a sinking feeling like I couldn't have got much right because the team's so awful. And none of us, even Crystal, were not nearly as dour as we needed to be about the team.
Well, to be fair, I was trying to be optimistic, even though I know how bad this team is. But I would just like to apologize for how smart I am when it
Crystal needs no explanation as to why she's showing up for this podcast. Yes, victory lap. Hey, listen, for you, at least as a couple years old, for me, it's like, where did this come from? Others of you have never even done this before. So, yeah, Crystal, yeah. Rightfully, even over me, gets to run
this tap dance on me. This is like the third season that I've finished in the top. So
I dare say that Crystal might lead. I'm proud because, again, I need hobbies. I probably will put together how we've all done over these years, and I'm going to guess, aside from these, you know, Dine and Dashers who are like not even with the site by the end of the season for the real sad ones here, like Crystal, the hardcore Southside Soxers, I'm going to guess that she is in the lead among all of us. So, all right, you know who to shoot for and you know who to try to criticize or copy next year because Crystal seems to get it right.
I know. So this was my rookie year in doing mm-hmm. the picks and I fared about as well as my White Sox Rookie of the Year, Oscar Colas. So, you know, Oscar and I are on the same level. So I think I need to step up my game next year. Maybe I got to go winter ball, although he's not going to winter ball. But, yeah, I'll have to do some more, take some more notes, do some more studying next year so I can up my game a little bit.
Melissa's playing possum on this one. You can't tell. She just, beforehand we were chatting a little bit. She did actually take the sling and the ice off. She has been throwing. She's just recently coming back for some play in the Dominican Republic. So, I mean, she's actually been honing. You think she's just like, this is a figure of speech, winter ball. No, she's been on her winter ball game. So she's taking this stuff seriously. Shout out to Adrian Serrano, Luke Smales, the two folks who do not pick Oscar Colas as the best rookie on the White Sox. So you have a lot of company with you. In fact, all of us here made the same mistake on Oscar. So now Michael Kopech, we can talk about that, but we'll talk about that We'll talk about that later.
I think Melissa. One thing that's interesting with this, looking at the player MVP picks, I think there's 20 of us, five people picked Luis Robert Jr. And just looking at the list of who everyone else picked is very reasonable going into this season, but it just shows how terrible things were that you look at Moncott, come on, Benintendi, Tim Anderson, these guys are terrible. Aloy, like it just shows the gap between expectations and reality. Like none of the people who were picked to be MVP had even decent seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Aloy or Moncada when they were healthy a little bit here and there, but just the gap between our perception and reality.
And if you want to know what we're talking about here, obviously we're running a story alongside this that will address the prediction. So you can check in on that as you're listening, watching, you know, whatever. We know you just can't get enough of this stuff. So, you know, for those of you listening, you can follow along with us. Brian's referring to the fact that an equal number of folks, five, picked Luis Robert Jr. to be the best White Sox player of the year, player, not pitcher. An equal number five said Yoan Moncada. Equal number said Eloy Jimenez. That did not work out so well. And folks like Darren Black, Hannah LaMotta, Trevor Lyons, and Adrian Serrano are lucky. I don't subtract points for some picks because, yes, they all picked who the guy who was actually the worst player on the team, the anti-MVP, that was Tim Anderson, as their player MVP. Not the craziest pick, to be honest. I don't think any of us would have anticipated Tim Anderson being who he is for 2023, but it didn't work out for them this time around.
Yes. If I can slide in, I was relieved that I didn't get worse than 13th. I thought I would have done a little bit worse than that. To be honest, I guess, yeah, picking Luis Robert Jr. as player MVP, yeah, that wasn't that popular of a pick because, yeah, as previously mentioned, there were several viable options for that. But, yeah, really, Robert Jr. was really the clear runaway favorite at the end of the season for that. So that was helpful. I was also thinking of my World Series pick of the Padres, which, yeah, obviously – that was not a good pick, but yeah, at least I did a couple things right. So, I mean, yeah, looking back on it, definitely some things that I would have done differently, but could have been worse, I suppose.
Padres have been sexy for a couple years now, so it'll be interesting, just like how we're going to all turn on the White Sox. You know, 2 years ago, or I guess it would just be the 2022 picks, we all picked the White Sox in the division, and we were all wrong on that, even though it wasn't as catastrophically as bad as it was this year for our picks of the White Sox. But folks have been very hot. Joe just outed himself, but a number of people have been very, very hot on the Padres, and they have definitely not earned, you know, it doesn't turn out they have earned that hype. Just to quickly go through, we sort of break this into four phases. So quickly summarize at least the first section we might be talking about. Few of us got the Twins right as AL Central champs. Nobody got the AL East pick of Baltimore Orioles, which, okay, no shocker there. Most folks got Astros as the correct pick, although let's face it, that really turned out to be a coin flip between them and the Rangers. And a shout out to Malachi. I mean, he did, God bless him, he picked the Rangers, got some, you know, some credit for them being a second place team. NL Central, plenty of folks did pick the Brewers. East, of course, a lot of Atlanta picks. West, Dodgers, another sexy pick, more warranted than the Padres, but as it turns out, these last couple of years at least, it hasn't really led to a ton being too hyped on the Dodgers. That's how the first round went. Let's break before talking about the second round, and I'd like to know, well, it can be worst or best. What's the pick you're proudest of making? I'd like to hear each one of you. Did you go out on a limb enough to make a pick that you are sort of proud of? The easy part will be coming later after the break where we talk about the pick you're most embarrassed of or that you just missed wildliest, most wild. I can't even speak here. You can tell I'm out of podcast practice. Why are we still doing these? What's most inspiring to you in terms of the picks you did make?
I guess getting both rookies of the year right.
That's not nothing.
It is nothing, though, because I told you many of them before. And I looked at what smarter people are saying. And it's like, oh, Joe said Corbin. I've never heard of Gunnar Sander. What? Who?
And yet you picked him.
I think I did the same thing. I honestly had no idea who to pick for any of those. So I'm like, okay, Ohtani is an easy pick. I'm going to go with Ohtani. But then I'm looking at the rest of mine. I'm like, oh, yeah, Carlos Rodon? No. Gunnar Henderson, I figured might had a chance. Bryce Harper, because he felt safe. Zach Wheeler. I picked Corbin Carroll because I couldn't think of an NL rookie. Like, literally, I couldn't think of an NL rookie. And I went with what other people were picking, too. So don't feel so bad.
You landed on the right one. I mean, for sure.
I definitely cleaned up in the awards because I picked, what was it? AL MVP, AL Cy Young, National League Rookie of the Year. And I feel like I was at least close. Like, most of these guys were in the running still for the other ones. So I feel good about it. I mean, Shohei is obvious, but like Corbin Carroll and Garrett Cole, those were
Garrett Cole was an inspired pick. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember way back when we did the original podcast before this horrible season unrolled. Me and Malachi were like, hey, wait, has everybody forgotten about Mike Trout? Now, as it turns out, you know what, he played his usual, like, at this point, I guess, half season or whatever. So I'm sure that half season was MVP level, but yeah, it doesn't count for playing pretty good for Eloy Jimenez will tell you that doesn't really count to play good for just a little bit of the time. But yeah, Shohei, sort of a no-brainer, except for those of us who did not pick him as MVP.
Well, I was thinking, okay, so what are the odds of winning again? And Aaron Judge had such a good year the year before. I'm like, he probably has a pretty good shot. And then, of course, he ends up injured. So, you know, it's just, it's a crapshoot. But I got four of the division winners straight. So I was pretty excited about that. But then from there on, I just.
Yeah, that's sort of our round one thing. And yeah, let's shout out to the hamster. I think Smales did this maybe last year, but I don't think anybody's ever got all six. And I think maybe Luke got five last year, one of these years. That's pretty rare. So to have actually outdone Melissa, which is four, is pretty darn good, especially given the fact that they weren't all foregone conclusions at all. I mean, come on, Baltimore alone is going to keep you from getting a perfect six. None of us, of course, picked them to win the AL East. So... go ahead, Brent, please.
Oh, I just want to shout out two people, not on this call, but Heron and Jackie both picked Oscar Colas to win the Rookie of the Year in the AL. Jackie at least apparently added an LOL.
Yeah, she did. So, I mean, at least she sort of outed herself as the homer pick. I think that goes in the Ryan category of like, well, I don't know. This is the guy I want to root for. So, yeah, okay, let's do it. But, yeah. Yeah, the LOL does. I mean, it didn't really change the final scoring. I mean, at some point I'll make the scoring so complex that even I won't be able to figure it out. And then, yes, you'll get a little point for mocking yourself as you make the pick. But, way to go, Jackie. Yeah, that's excitement. Boy, we don't have that same excitement for Oscar Colas at this point. And neither does Pedro Grafal, who's his manager, who should be hyped for him, but really a different podcast. Now let's take a break. We'll talk about the other three categories and ways we're ashamed of our picks or, you know, whatever other stuff we're going to talk about. Anything to avoid talking about the car crash in slow motion that is the 2024 Chicago White Sox. Anything that we can do. I mean, we may have a podcast about the 2023 predictions or the 2022 predictions like in another month because we just don't really want to talk about this mess. Let's take a break. We'll be back, I promise, in a minute or so, depending on whether Fans First Sports Network wants to sell you some stuff. It's cool stuff, though. So listen, please stick with us. I promise we'll come back and talk more about predictions, the stuff that you've tuned in to hear in just a minute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. It is Sox Pop 163. Correct spelling. It's easy to spell pop, you'd think. I might yet get that wrong, but yes, POP, oh, palindrome. So, okay. That's not palindrome. See, I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's not palindrome. Brian, help me out here, man. I'm going to just have to hand this microphone over to you because I'm just losing all. Man, I am. My chops are very, very dull at this point. Okay, we've got Melissa Sage Bollenbach, sore-armed but fresh from the Dominican Republic. Runner-up in our competition, Crystal O'Keefe. We have Ryan, who finished fifth, I believe, in this year's, I believe, their debut competition. Brian O'Neill, seventh, I believe, maybe also in his debut. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I'm supposed to keep track of this stuff. Joe Reeses finished in the second division. I don't know what is going on. This is a Sox Math champion. I think he was being nice. I don't know. And your host, Brett Valentini, who finished better than anyone. Hey, how about that? Sometimes, you know, blind squirrel, nut, owl, some animal thing. I don't know. All right. Round two involved the best and the worst in baseball, predicting pennants, World Series winners. I mean, we did terribly. I mean, most people, I mean, these are real impossible needles in a haystack to pull in most cases. There's no, you know, three-peat Oakland A's or any number of New York Yankees nasty, ugly dynasties any longer. So, you know, this stuff is tough. AL worst seemed to be the only gimme category, yet still three folks decided to pick. Oh, gosh, including Ryan. Sorry, Ryan. Decided to pick the Tigers. Really some hatred for Motown there. Decided to pick the Tigers instead of the A's as AL worst. Nobody got AL best, being who the heck? Was that the Orioles? Oh, for God's sake. Was it the Orioles?
Yeah.
Well, then nobody should have gotten that one. Come on. Only Joe picked Atlanta as NL best. I mean, I guess that's a little surprising. Tommy, Barbie, Lily, Tyrone. Yeah, you see, some of these folks didn't do so well. They all picked the Mets. Sorry, Mets fans. I know I like to laugh at the Mets. At least I'm a White Sox fan. You know, you can't hurt me. But yeah, that was a miss. Only a few picked the Rockies as NL worst. Jackie got that one. Crystal nailed the Rockies. Most of us thought the Nationals, which, you know, by the way, wasn't a bad pick at all. Nobody got pennant, either pennant or World Series. We totally blew the World Series matchup. Something about how this season went for you folks. I guess Baltimore is the big one, but something about a team not doing as well as you really thought they would. I mean, who to you surprised, you know, good or bad or disappointed most when it comes to looking back on these predictions?
Seattle. Well, I mean, I'm looking at mine, and I picked the Blue Jays to pick the World Series. I mean, what the hell was I thinking?
Hey, they made the playoffs. Enough people whiffed to the point where, you know, they're picking teams that don't even make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, yeah, sure. Seattle, but, you know.
They were a wild card, and they were done. They didn't even make it two games or whatever it was. They lost. They're bad.
Yeah, another team that we seem to be very soft on being Seattle, you know, made a run of it, but, you know, didn't even make the playoffs. So, you know, that's definitely going to hurt hurt you in the scoring and the standings when you pick a team that doesn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I had the Mariners winning the pennant. I was high on them losing to the Phillies in the World Series. So that didn't turn out well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's soft on them. Like, they just wanted them to do well.
I mean, it's not the most spectacular miss. I mean, I hate to out Father Soxivus, especially when it doesn't seem like we're even celebrating this year. I mean, let's face it. Why would you want to? The Mets for the pennant. Darren. See, you're making it even uglier. Oh, my God. I'm shoveling dirt on Tommy Barbie. Father Soxivus, forgive me. Yes, World Series winning Mets. And Malachi. Oh, gosh. And Tyrone. Whew. Man, I needed to review these notes better. I buried all the leads here. We should have started with that. My goodness. Well, hey, listen, the Mets failed spectacularly. The White Sox failed so spectacularly. The Seattle, you know, again, Brian, Seattle was at least in it. I mean, it was just sort of a couple coin flips, a couple, you know, games that went the wrong way that kept them from maybe making that run. But some of us missed worse. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Definitely went along with the trend of missing on the World Series picks. I already touched on the Padres. I also picked the Yankees. So that was, I'm not really sure what I was doing on that one. The Padres felt more excusable. It kind of feels like they've been waiting for a couple years. They've been ready. But the Yankees, that was just kind of a random bold prediction that just didn't work out in my favor. I'll give the people who picked the Mets an excuse here. And I wanted them to succeed too. They had just spent an enormous amount of money. Their owner was actually doing good things for the team. And it's rough to see it's just crash and burn the way that it did last year for sure. And really they should have definitely had a better season than they had, but unfortunately just didn't work out. On the brighter side, I'm happy with some of the best record and worst record picks. Getting the Braves and the A's correct. Nothing that spectacular there, but happy I went with my gut on those. Picking the Nationals to be the worst one, like it wasn't right, but it was close. So
close enough.
Not one either.
I can't speak for Brian. I might be speaking for him, but I, for one, wasn't too crushed that the wild spending Mets blew up and failed spectacularly. But, I know a lot of other folks feel differently here about that, but I don't feel so bad about that. But hey, let's talk about the other New York team. As long as Joe brought up, can we at least be unified here and say, isn't it nice that the Yankees are suffering? I mean, it just feels good. The Sox are terrible. The Astros still, made their run. That's disgusting. But the fact that the Yankees are, the Cubs are doing all right, but the fact that the Yankees are failing, they're an embarrassment. The whole Yankee world is up in flames. It sort of feels good. It makes me be willing to actually pay some attention to 2024 just to see if they can, follow that up.
It's funny because the White Sox injured Aaron Judge. That was the toe game. That toe game, that just gave me PTSD for, Carlos Rodon. So we were the whole reason the Yankees were so bad this year, because they didn't have the only good player on their team that's not a pitcher.
That is nice.
And it's no diss on Aaron Judge. I think he's a likable guy. I think we probably all are at least mild Aaron Judge fans. But way to go, White Sox. You did something good this year. You sort of, halfway stuck a dagger in a team that I'm not just speaking for the six here. I think I'm probably speaking for the 22. I think anybody on staff hate the Yankees. So way to go, White Sox. A good memory there, Crystal. I hadn't even remembered it was a ball hit by a White Sox player that ended up destroying Aaron Judge's season. And Melissa Sage Bonebox's MVP pick. Sorry, Melissa. Listen, sometimes you just got to take one for the team.
The Yankee series too, when we played in New York, that was like the last good memory of summer. That was like when things were still hopeful, we were kind of excited. It was kind of all downhill after.
Did that thing where they finally swept like 3 months later, they finally swept a series. And then you look back, what was the last, how long has it been? What was the last one? And you say, it was the Yankees? Wait, hold on. It's like, we might as well be looking at, the schedule from 2017 or something. It just seems so bizarre that they actually showed up in of all series. See, Pedro can motivate them just, in the Bronx, I guess. Ouch.
Well, our White Sox sucked, but like, I think all of us can take pride in the fact that they get the Sox and the Cubs. So we at least see baseball didn't include.
We've got some ammunition fire perhaps around you, Ryan. We there's some Morse code going on as long as you're speaking. So I promise I'll let you make your point once we can hear what it is you're saying. I don't know where that's coming from, but. Rain Delay Theater here on Sox Pop, spelled correctly. It's POP. we'll let Ryan get back to what they need to get back to there, I promise. But we'll get into the third round of awards. Now, let's see.
Krista was crowing, and maybe I don't know, some folks were crowing. Who made the most picks there? It looks like Crystal got four. Is that true? Who else down here? Smales is always, he's always lingering, that guy. Like he knows something, like he played baseball or something. Jeez. This is tough. And I mean, it helps when you have sort of like, for all of this, it helps when it's a predictable season. But this, talking about needle and haystack stuff, I mean, Ryan's already admitted it's like, okay, well, Corbin Carroll. Yeah, I see that name a lot. So yeah, I'm going to type that name in. And, it's not to say I don't do that, for goodness sake. But I mean, things really do have to break right. And when sort of the favorites do sort of come through and have the season you think they are going to have, or everybody says they're going to have, I mean, obviously it helps you to score better. I'm not saying that's what Crystal O'Keefe was doing, because again, she just nails this stuff all the time. But I mean, it certainly helps when it falls in a way, and it's like, not Shohei isn't out for a month, and you know, Trout's not out for a month. I mean, these guys that we are used to picking, you know, end up being the guys who are right at the top of the list. I mean, nobody had any Rangers, you know, on their short list. Tyrone Palmer picked, you know, as it turned out during the course of the season, you know, one of our new nemesis, Jose Ramirez, as his MVP pick, I think he fell short, even though he never fought in his life. Ryan, I'll give you a chance to speak again, or we can, I guess, talk about MLB awards as well, if we haven't already.
Okay, I don't know what happened there. I was trying to say that, like, the White Sox may have sucked, but we got no, like, the Cubs, the Boston Red Sox, and the Yankees all didn't make it. So we at least had that, something like a little bit to savor.
Yeah. I mean, the Cubs thing, I mean, again, we cannot crow. I mean, Lord knows we can't. I mean, there's AAA teams we can't talk down to. Double A team, any minor league team, probably. No team can we talk down to. But I mean, it is sort of sweet to see, you know, come shit the bed like that.
I did preface the White Sox.
I was okay on the NL. I didn't get either of them right. Manny Machado and Corbin Burns, but they were defensible. They both had good years. You know, a couple breaks here and there. They might have been in the conversation, but picking Carlos Rodon for the AL Cy Young probably doomed him to like the worst season of his career. I don't know. I feel like he got Yankeed, and just all the good vibes are gone. Mm-hmm. And it's sad.
I like the folks who pop out and say like, "Well, see." It's like, no, I don't think anybody ever made an argument that the White Sox should sign Los for 8 years and $700 billion dollars. I think we have a quibble with the fact that the no-brainer move to just offer him the basic to at least get a draft pick when he takes off, or if that kills his market, you get him for another 5 more years. I'm pretty sure that's what we're still a little bit hot about. Yeah. I'm certainly not thinking that we should have pulled the Yankees and said, Carlos, you're set for life. Don't ever pitch again. Here's $200 million. I don't think anybody would think that. We all want him to do well. But yeah, Brian, you really wanted him to do well. So
I did.
Sorry, man.
Even for the Yankees, I wanted him
to do well.
For the Yankees.
I did too. We're in the same boat, Brian. I did too. Wow.
I always want to see him perform well because I adore him. But woof.
Yeah. Yeah, poor guy. Final category, not to skate through this too quickly, because we can talk as long as we want, as long as we don't have to talk about the 2024 White Sox or any of the latest hideous things that have been done. I mean, we haven't even brought up an announcer because there were no announcer predictions this year. I guess next year we'll have to say what inappropriate firing will come from the White Sox. Who will we lose? Who we shouldn't lose for 2025? Maybe that'll be a new category. Final category, I just labeled White Sox because this is White Sox. Obviously the ugliest, most challenging, most gutting. Again, Tommy and Crystal, low picks for wins at 75. And that wasn't even close. Tommy also, he just doubled down. He wasn't like the whole division is going to stink. He thought the White Sox were going to lose the division by 14 games, which again was way too sunny. Someone's got player MVP. Okay, yeah, we just fell into Luis Robert as our player MVP. You know, again, you can count on one hand, even the candidates. Next year, I think you can count on one finger if he's still on the team who the MVP will be next year. So I expect that to be close to unanimous in the predictions, but of course there'll always be some Benny picks or having a career year.
No one's going to Naperville product Nicky Lopez.
Hey, it could happen. It could happen. I mean, he'll be on the roster, so technically he will qualify. Or maybe we should just go off the board, pick somebody who's not even on the team, because, you know, that came pretty close. Tukey, nobody got Tukey. That's because he wasn't on the team in spring training. And yet I think he finished as the third best pitcher on the White Sox. So somehow we all whiffed on that one because we didn't know that the castoffs from Cleveland would end up being, I don't know, like the number two starter for our woeful, woebegone team in 2023. Of course, went through rookie. Of course, only two prescient picks, Serrano and Smales, saying Santos. And I think they both admit it's like, well, it's just, we just don't think Kyle, we think Colas isn't going to do. It's not necessarily an endorsement of Gregory Santos. And let's face it, there should have been no endorsement of really anybody on this team. Certainly anyone who we don't think is a disgusting human being who shouldn't have ever been on the team. Luis Robert was it. So worst player, shouted out in our chat that only Allie got even any of the top five worst players, and that being Gavin Sheets, who I believe tied for runner-up worst behind Tim Anderson. None of us got the pitcher, although some folks got points with Jake Diekman. It's like, I didn't even remember Jake Diekman played. I thought they might have traded him before the season even started, but no, he played enough to be the third worst pitcher. And then, of course, was probably like the third best pitcher for Tampa. God, this team is terrible. Why are we doing this, folks? Oh, my God. All right. Well, relieve me of speaking. And White Sox predictions. Any regrets? Anything you're particularly proud of about the White Sox? Brian, you've already outed yourself, so you're allowed not to speak here.
I'm sitting here looking at my pick of Yaz as the worst player and seriously wondering how he didn't end up the worst player. Like, I thought it was a pretty safe pick, and somehow he's not even like top three. What happened?
Yeah, go figure. He was. Yeah, there were just a lot worse. I mean, Colas and TA alone were like close to historically bad. I believe TA had the fourth worst all-time WAR season. You know, not like in this decade ever, fourth worst White Sox player season. Dunn, George Bell. And some other guy, you know, from like whatever the awful 30s. So yeah, I mean that's pretty.
He's classic in the same sentence as Dunn's historically bad season. Yikes!
Yeah,
I didn't like. I knew he had a bad year. I didn't know that he had like a historically bad year for White Sox. And like, yeah, it felt like a safe pick, and yet so many others did worse. God, this team sucked.
That's the story I'm sticking with. Yep.
I don't regret picking Colas, but had he been given more plate appearances, he could have very easily surpassed that Tim Anderson negative WAR total. Like,
I thought you were going to turn that around, Joe, and say if he got more plate appearances, he would have been better. But instead, in true White Sox fashion, he would have been much worse than he got more plate. Oh, wow. Even when Joe Reeses has soured this badly on the team, White Sox, you guys are in trouble. I mean, we've been telling you, it seems like for years, even in the season where you did well and won 93 games in a horrible division, we've been telling you, but you don't listen to us.
I think the thing I regret the most isn't necessarily the pick, but that Redacted wasn't the worst pitcher on the team.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, almost everyone picked him.
Yeah, I mean, he sucks. He's always sucked and wanted it to be bad. And it's just another way that it just shows that, you know, there's clouds are everywhere and nothing good comes in this fallen world.
To be fair, every single pitcher was terrible this year.
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah, and a very fair point here to add, I think it doesn't need to be said, really. But I mean, he clearly is he's the worst pitcher in the major. Well, there's competition there, but he may be the worst pitcher in the major leagues. I mean, unfortunately, that wasn't the statistical merit of the prediction process. But technically, if you picked Redacted, you are right. I mean, you're not wrong. It's just technically you were wrong because shockingly.
And those stats.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, damn those stats.
Yeah, those stats. Exactly. Why can't we just go with gut? Because guess what? We have six winners here if we just go by gut, because I know Melissa feels that her picks won and Ryan feels that their picks won. And Joe, of course, Joe Reese's thinks his Sox math picks won. I mean, God's sake. Crystal's picks basically did win. I'm sure I cheated to actually get the win. Let's be honest here. And Brian, come on, he won. He won this in our hearts. Of course he did.
Well, as mentioned early in the podcast, my Michael Kopech is the best pitcher.
Sorry.
I was the only one, and I just really wanted him to do well. I so wanted him to do well. And boy, did that yike. Not even close.
In all, like Melissa, in don't all want to do well. Like, we all like, I take you.
I'm sorry, Ryan. It's still a demilitarized zone a little bit on your end. So we are only getting to about every third word, which is unfortunate because I know there was some zinger in there somewhere. So we're going to continue to have this general discussion. So jump in if it ever works any better.
The Kopech pick didn't work out, but you didn't pick Lance Lynn.
That's true. I was looking at that. I was like, yeah. It could have. I guess it could have been worse. I could have been one of the people who picked Lance Lynn.
Does anybody know offhand how many did he give up? Like 50 homers this year? I mean, I'm being serious. He came. He was in the. Was he in the 40s? He gave up a ton of home runs.
Yeah,
that's astounding.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's what, two or three a start.
I mean, he was injured a lot. You know, not to transition into like let's talk about the offseason, but he did just get signed. He's getting paid seven figure. I don't know. I'm out after winning these predictions. I think I'm done with anything math at all. So don't expect me to count. But I mean, he got paid $10 or $11 million by the Cardinals, who are really proving that they might not have the sense we always thought they had. Because I don't see that happening. But all right.
Maybe they're going to bring Tony La Russa back too.
Oh my God.
Tony La Russa back. And that was a sort of a nice side call out. I'm not sure who threw the Lynn out there, but Nello, Adrian, Allie all chose Lance Lynn. Crestal, good vibes. We're really feeling the good vibes and picking Lance Lynn for pitcher MVP this year. Don't mean to call out any of you folks, you know, who didn't do great with picks. I've given plenty of credit for great prescient picks for sure from Allie. But, you know, Allie, if you're going to get kudos for picking Gavin Sheets is horrible, I'm going to have to slap your wrist for picking Lance Lynn. I think he just gave up three home runs since we started talking in just this section of the podcast as the White Sox pitching MVP. That talk about how the Dodgers are so much smarter than the White Sox and they solved. I mean, I know he must have pitched a little bit better in LA. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, that died down pretty quick. And he so
poor. He gave up 28 homers and 17 starts for the Sox. I'm sorry, 15 starts. 15 starts. Which is
wow. That's bad. And the problem is, it's like that pace sort of kept going to the National League. I mean, if he ended up in the upper 40 or 40 something.
44, yeah.
Holy cats.
And 16 and 9 starts. 16 homers, 9 starts with the Dodgers. So not the pitcher of the year.
Wow.
I am just really sad because I picked Dylan Cease. And for someone to go from being in the running for Cy Young last season to completely regressing this season, like I didn't see the regression coming, at least not this soon. And then Yo-Yo looked really good, like at the start of the season he looked really good in spring training, and then for him to just be made of glass, I should have known better on that one. I am happy that I picked the correct number of all-stars.
Yeah. I like the dour pick of I think Tyrone and Trooper both said zero, and I'm pretty sure that's not possible. But that, Mia, when you're down on a team, if you're picking zero, when that can't be zero. But you know, shout out to that because that's you know, that's angry. That's no doubt that's angry. I think Joe might back me up here. Definitely Luke would in absentia back up the fact that here's one area where there's a real discrepancy between, say, a Fangraphs assessment of Cease's year and what really happened, and the Baseball Reference assessment. His WAR is he might have even been the best pitcher on the White Sox. I think Redacted slips a little on Fangraphs, and Cease might actually have been the best pitcher, at least to finish the season with us. So it wasn't quite as horrifying a crash as you sort of sense, Crystal. But yeah, the step back, the idea that he didn't take this and go, oh, well, yeah, now I'll be Cy Young this year, it's still disappointing. And the fact that he wasn't too efficient, I mean, that's scary.
I just realized, I even forgot this, that I had three All-Stars, and I'm sure it was Luis Robert and probably Dylan Cease, but I couldn't, I have no idea who I thought.
Yeah, who the third? Yeah, who even think of who that would have been?
Well, TA, I mean, TA would be
He'd been, what, two years in a row?
2 years in a row,
I'm like Crystal, I've always been high on Yo-Yo. I've probably hoped at the beginning that this would be finally the year again that it comes all together, but...
Well, he's so good. He's so insanely talented, but he's made of glass.
Yeah.
Well, the notion that we have to say, that first of all, we have to have this thing about like, well, the World Baseball Classic did it. Shame on that. We should never play that again, which again, it's a different topic. And it's not like there's one right answer with that, you know, necessarily, but the idea that that was going to tax, you know, that 2 week dominance for Cuba was going to tax him to the degree that, what, he had a week or two into the regular season before it's like, well, okay, I'm out for a few months, guys, and my back has really been aching. And man, what a shame, because yeah, this is not the, you know, the guy that was hyped and coming over in the big trade. And I'm afraid we're not really going to see that guy, but I guess that's for 2024's predictions. Maybe some folks will just double down and say, you know what, it's going to be Yoan this year because he's playing for a new contract. I don't know.
I will get a massage therapy license if it means he stays healthy. I will go to school for it. I don't have the time, but I will.
Again, White Sox, this has been since our first podcast together, Crystal and I. This is a standing offer. I believe it's extended. I think now we're introducing massage. It's been yoga. Just basic stretch, basic common sense. I think common sense has probably been an instructor offer. She has been offering to help you out. I mean, this could be even on a, you know, on a, you know, name your price basis. She just wants to help our team as much as it's getting really hard to call this team our team. She's been offering to help a long time now.
I was going to open water bottles.
Yeah. Water bottles. Yes. Hydrate these guys. Yes.
And so they don't injure their fingers.
That's right. It's not a hydration
issue. Oh my God. That was the most embarrassing injury. You know, give them like food recommendations for when they're in certain cities like Cincinnati to steer clear.
To avoid,
stay there avoiding. And avoid the hospital. You know, I'm just here for everything.
Lee Allen's getting angry. He defends that. What do they call it? That's chili? I guess that's chili. Spaghetti,
that's so
chili.
Gross.
He defends it. He loves it. All right. Okay, well, let's wind this up by, I mean, I've been asking, I think pretty much everyone has offered up, so we don't need to revisit it. And certainly nothing in the offseason has made us feel more inspired. I do not feel more inspired to somehow lower my predicted losses from 107 for next year. So we don't have to do a prediction of losses. We'll have plenty of time more to do that in this offseason and all next season. But how about, whether it's in these categories that are laid out now as canon or not, give me a prediction for next year. What is your good or bad? What's your lock for the White Sox next year? I will go in the order of my grid here, and I'm going to throw it out to Melissa first. What is your deadlock prediction for the 2024 White Sox?
Oh gosh. Best player, Andrew Vaughn.
Ooh, okay. Cause nobody's left. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You know, okay.
Because you know, my last like Michael Kopech, you know, out on a limb worked out so well. I'm gonna keep it going that, you know, Vaughn is due, that he really does have the tools, and he's we're going to see it next year from AV. So
here's the terrifying thing, Melissa. Terrifying thing, not about your prediction. In fact, the inspiring thing about your prediction, he was the third highest WAR on among the hitters this year.
Yes.
Crazy, crazy Allie Wessel picked Andrew Vaughn as her player MVP, scored a 3 points for that because
only Luis and I can't even think who the second best hitting WAR on the team would have been. Maybe that was just default. Maybe that was pass. And then they went to Vaughn as third. But yeah, he actually was number three. So not as crazy or bold. I mean, not to undermine your pick here, but you might have some momentum going. So, all right, that's a bold lock. Ryan, do you got a bold lock for next year? Good, bad, otherwise?
Nicky Lopez will not be the worst player on the team.
Hmm. Will he be the worst player who hails from the Chicagoland area on the team?
Yes.
It depends if
Riley Goins gets called up or not.
That's true. Wildcat power.
My brother teaches at Libertyville. He said he's a good kid.
Oh, so, all right. Hey, look at that. We're family, Brian. Yeah. I'm brothers with your brother. You know, whatever. Okay, we're family. Okay, and let's take two. Ryan, your bold lock prediction for next year.
I can't decide between Pedro doesn't make it till May or Sally Perez is the Sox MVP.
Oh. Boy, I was so happy, and now I'm really sad. Gosh, Ryan. I'll take 50% though, happy and sad though. So I like those predictions. it's good. I know I've been saying it. Most of you are still like, oh yeah, they're going to be a little better. It's going to get worse. It's getting worse. You're all going to come to me by spring training, by our opening day, opening day Eve podcast. You're all going to be like 107, Brett. No, 117 this year. But I'll give you time. I'm patient. I'm going to shoot it over to Crystal for the bold, inspiring lock pick for 2024.
I agree with Ryan's assessment of Pedro not making it until May. Like, I feel like he will get fired. Seeing as how there's no guarantee that any of the current players will make the team next year or have been traded off, I can't do that. So I'm just going to say they're going to lose 118 games.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, see, Crystal, welcome. There's plenty of seats on the bus.
I'm going to have to cover like 95 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the sick part of the prediction. Yeah. That's just the math. That's just how the math is going to fall. Crystal. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry about that part, but, okay. Well, we finally have someone willing to surpass me and shoot way past me. I do remember way back when your assessment went from something like 99 wins to 47 in the course of, gosh, was that just 1 year ago?
Yeah, that was just last year.
God, man, this is the opposite of my life passing before my eyes. It just will not move forward. God damn it, White Sox. Okay, we got it from Brian. So, Joe, I think you're last for lock prediction for 2024, and it cannot involve Luis Robert.
Yes. No problem. I will give something positive that doesn't relate to Luis Robert Jr. What the heck? I'll go for it. Cats fixes Michael Soroka, who turns out to be the second most valuable pitcher on the 2024 White Sox. I'll go with that. Soroka, we've seen him be good before. It's been a while. I think he could do it again.
That sentence sounded like a Mad Lib.
It really did.
Okay. Allow me to interject. If Soroka is the second best, who is the best?
I'm going to go with Cease still being on the team at that point.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say Soroka has a better chance of vending elotes at the park than actually being the second best pitcher for the White Sox. But I, like you, Joe, I'm hoping Cats will fix them. It's sort of a mixed bag. You know, again, Luke's not on this podcast, so nobody's going to yell at me for saying that. But, I mean, it's been pretty much a toss-up with, you know, Cats. Some great stories, including one who they decided to pack off a year early in Carlos Rodon. But we've already talked about that plenty. All right, well, I don't know. What's my bold pick for 2024? I will just play off of what Ryan said, and that is that because this team is so infuriating and so arrogant and just so reprehensible, and yet I'm hosting a podcast about them. I think Pedro, no matter what, is managing all year next year. Or maybe I'll concede some token dismissal, like, you know, like a Miguel Cairo, you know, two weeks at the end of the season. He's going to last the year, will not deserve it. I mean, he doesn't deserve to be manager right now. He didn't deserve to be hired a year ago. But that said, yeah, I just think counterintuitively, although probably intuitively, knowing the White Sox, yeah, Grifol will be the manager all next season. But stay tuned. We'll actually put pen, not pencil, but pen to ink in another handful of months with our written story projections for 2024, our podcast talking about it, where we can all act chippy enough to taunt somebody for, say, I don't know, saying the Rangers are going to make the playoffs, or how can you not pick Mike Trout as MVP, or the Cubs, give me a break, they're going to be buried in fourth or fifth place. And we'll see how that wrangles out. And then all of us will come back, except Crystal, red-faced, embarrassed to admit all of our sins and errors somewhere, I guess, next November. So see you in a year, everybody. I think we'll do a podcast before then. I can't promise it, but I can promise you this, at least in 1 year's time, we'll have our next podcast. I guess that would be 164. Maybe we'll squeeze a couple out before then. But thank you, Ryan, Joe, Brian, my brother, Melissa, again, ice. I'm not even sure if it's the left or right shoulder, but keep icing. Crystal, stay brilliant. Although just one hair less brilliant for just a few more seconds this year than me. I'm Brett. I'm doing this podcast. Maybe another one will come soon. Maybe another one is going to come like in mere seconds. I don't know. But our gang will see you again, maybe sooner than you're ready or expecting.